What to do. If somebody starts lecturing at you, telling you what to do, preaching at you, disagreeing with you, so whatever you're doing, they think it's wrong, so they're telling you should do it a different way. Or you think that whatever they're saying is incorrect or you disagree with them, what happens next? Do you have an argument? Do you have a fight? Do you walk away? Do you agree with what they're saying just so that you won't have an argument or you won't wreck the relationship? Do you try and convince them that they're wrong? Do you try and justify what you're doing? So somebody says you shouldn't eat that way, but you happen to like eating that way, so you start justifying why you do that. You shouldn't vote that way. You shouldn't believe in that particular religious persuasion. You shouldn't have that particular opinion about. And there's a whole heap of things that we all have opinions about. And here's a great question. Do we have the right to our opinion? It's been suggested in a free world we probably do. But what do we do when people disagree? And could we turn it into a really positive learning experience? And that's one of the things I learned a really long time ago. I was brought up in an environment where there was lots of argument and lots of fighting and people disagreeing with each other. And I didn't like it. I didn't want to live my life like that. So I wondered if there was a way where we could all communicate effectively without having to yell, scream, argue, even say nasty things to each other. And interestingly, when you watch the gender differences, and this is, I'm being very general, but because I've been in business a really long time, often when men have an argument, particularly around a business boardroom, they'll yell, scream, even swear at each other. And then morning tea time or at the end of the day, they'll go and have a cup of tea together or a beer and a great conversation. And it's just been a disagreement of opinions. Unfortunately, it seems, and it's been my personal experience, that often when two women have an argument or a disagreement or they have something that goes against each other's core values, they may have an argument and it may be a very long time before they talk to each other again, if ever. So I didn't want to live my life like that, particularly because I'm a woman. I wanted to have the communication skills, the toolbox to be able to communicate with everybody effectively, regardless of opinions, regardless of religious or political persuasions, regardless of what the other person believed and what I believe. Is it possible that we could still have a great conversation? And it seems that the behavioral scientists, the experts in communication, suggest that it is possible, but it takes some interesting practicing of skill set. So the first question to ask, and I take myself through this process on a regular basis, because as an exercise professional, as a businesswoman, I'm sure you can imagine there's a lot of disagreement, yes, about food and exercise and how to do both of those. And there's a lot of argument about business and how to run a business effectively. And having sat on some business boardroom tables for probably 30 years of my life now, there's major arguments about how to run a business or how to run an organization, or what's the right and wrong way to employ people or fire people or market a business or do a sales process. And once again, is it possible that if we spend a lot of time arguing, defending our point of view, that nobody learns anything? We just end up, and there's that great quote, a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. So you might have a whole heap of things that sound good and they're logical and they're common sense and people should agree with you. But if they are really rock solid on their opinion, even if it's wrong, they might end up defending their wrong opinion just because they feel a need to disagree with you. And once again, in business, that can be a real major waste of time, I'm sure you can imagine. And when it comes to food and exercise, and the major the things that we argue about or the world argues about, so religious persuasion, political persuasion, who the kind of relationships that you want to be in, there's a lot of argument about that. So the first suggestion is that should we accept that everybody has the right to their own opinion? If I want to have my opinion, should I accept that other people have the right to have their opinion? And often we don't get much past that because a lot of people don't agree with that. This is my opinion and I'm right and everybody should agree with me. And that's I now call that a passionate position to be coming from. And if I meet somebody like that, and they'll often share that with you, I'm right and you should believe me and my opinion is the only opinion and what I'm telling you is truth and fact and you should believe me. Well, I always go back to a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. And my next question is, why would I want to change their mind? Which is the next important behavioral scientist's question. So number one is, why do you have an opinion and why do you want to change somebody else's opinion? So what do you believe in? What do you stand for? And then do you expect that everybody would agree with what you say? And if that's the case, then we probably can't get any further in communication. But if we accept that I have a right to have my opinion, you have a right to have your opinion, then the next question would be, if I try and change your opinion, what would be the outcome and why do I want to do that? And again, if you have a look at the really big things, and it seems that exercise and food have become really big things because they're argued about a lot. But if you ask the question about religion or political persuasion, if you try and change somebody's mind to your political beliefs, or you change somebody's mind to take on your religious beliefs, or you change somebody's mind to take on your opinion about food and exercise, why do you want to do that? And it's a really important question, because if you really want to change a person's mind, if you really want to influence them, if you think that what they're doing is wrong and you can help them, and that's often where we come from as a teacher, as a parent, as a leader, as a coach, we might be involved with somebody that's taking drugs or they're drinking alcohol or they're eating unhealthy food or they're doing something physically or mentally to their body that could damage them, and you may want to change their mind. But again, it's been suggested that if you tell people what to do, is it possible they're likely to defend what they're doing rather than change their mind? So that's a really important question. Do you actually want to change their mind? If the answer is no, why would you bother having a conversation? Unless you want to learn more about their opinion, which is the next part of the superb communication toolbox, which is, you have an opinion about, and whatever it is the conversation is, you know why you have that opinion. It was developed in a certain way. Could you then, or would you like to know why the other person has their opinion? So if they were brought up in a certain culture or religious experience, or they believe a certain thing about food or exercise or politics, why is that? And if you have your own opinion about all of those things and you have a reason for them, if you really, really want to change somebody's mind, would it be a good idea to find out why they have that opinion in the first place? So it's a great question to ask. If you've got to the point where the person's given you their opinion or what they believe in or their conviction, and you think it's wrong, could a great question to ask, and I'll go back one step, could it be really important to find out or ask yourself the question, why do I want to change their mind? And if you don't want to change their mind, would it be great to just let them have their opinion and find out why they have it and just have a great conversation? And that's what's really fun. But if you want to find out more about them so you can help them be healthier, fitter, stronger, have a better life, would it be a really good idea to really listen, genuinely listen to the reasons why they do the things that they're doing or why they believe what they believe? So you could pick anything that's argued about. And instead of disagreeing because you're coming from a different place, could it be a great question to ask, tell me why you believe that? Why is that important to you? How did you come to that conclusion? And of course, you need to say that gracefully and respectfully and with open body language and a big smile on your face and be genuinely interested in what the person's got to say. Even if you think that what they're going to say is stupid and you totally disagree, could it be a really good idea to get all the information before you try and change their mind? And I'll just use a simple example. There's a lot of people who believe that it's important to eat meat or to eat dairy products or a combination of both because they've got complete proteins, all the amino acids. And if you want to exercise effectively or if you want to be healthy, you really should be eating dairy products or meat products or both. Now, there's been, and I've been involved, unfortunately, and experienced too many arguments between carnivores and vegan vegetarians, and they just yell and scream at each other, and nobody changes their mind. There's no vegan vegetarian that becomes a carnivore or vice versa. But wouldn't it be a great idea if you absolutely passionately believe that it's important to eat meat? Should we ask the vegan vegetarian, why are you a vegan vegetarian? Why is that important to you? Why have you chosen to live your life that way? What is it about being a vegan vegetarian that adds such value to your life? And you might be surprised why this person has chosen to live that way. Now, there's all sorts of reasons, of course. But one of the things that is really important is there's a lot of people that are vegan vegetarians because they love animals and they would never eat an animal because they love them. I'm not sure what the argument is to that, and I'm not in the business. I'm not interested in changing people's minds, and I share that with you happily and openly because I think everybody has the right to have their own opinion. And when I'm in a conversation with somebody, I just want to find out about them. And I'm sharing that with you because I've lived my entire life in a very controversial career path. There's always argument about food. There's always argument about exercise. There's always argument about how the brain works and how the body works. And I don't want to get into an argument. I'm just really interested into the reasons why people do what they do and why they believe what they believe. So I will very confidently and casually open up my body language and just ask the question, wow, tell me about that. Why is that important to you? Why have you chosen to believe that? Why have you lived your life like that? And just listen. And it's really interesting is it possible that that could create a great relationship? And I'll ask you this question. When was the last time somebody asked you, why do you believe that? Why do you do that? Why is that important to you? And they just listened, open body language, maintained eye contact, leant forward, actively listened, and seemed genuinely interested in what you had to say. For whatever it is that you were talking about, when was the last time that happened to you? And that's one of the things that I've been taught and I put in my communication toolbox is that one of the basic human needs is people need to feel important. They need to feel that somebody's interested in them and somebody's paying attention to them. So I've had many conversations with people about their religious belief, about their political persuasion, about the kind of people they like to sleep with, the drugs they take, the alcohol they drink, the exercise they do, the food they eat. And none of those things are anything that I would do ever. I talk to people about taking drugs and I've never taken drugs in my life. I talk to people about cigarettes and smoking and I've never smoked. I talk to people about gambling and I've never gambled. I'm really interested in people's religious beliefs and why they have those really strong convictions about a certain a belief. And I was brought up in a very strict religious environment, but I'm not interested in sharing my opinion about religion or God or how the universe works because I'm really respectful of the fact that other people have the right to their opinion. I'm often in conversations where people are arguing about carbohydrates and protein and fat and how much you need and what works best. I'm not interested in having an argument. I'm just really interested in why people do what they do. And when I say there's lots of science, there's so much contradicting science. So there's scientists who'll say this is how much protein you should eat and this is how much carbohydrate you should eat and this is how much fat you should eat, and there's other scientists who say exactly the opposite. There are people who eat happily pure carnivore diets and they seem to have a stack of energy and they love what they see in the mirror and they perform at their best level and they're getting the results that they want from eating only meat. And I've met lots of people who are pure vegan vegetarians and they're healthy and they're fit and they're strong and they perform at their best level and they've got a stack of energy and they love what they see in the mirror and they're getting the results that they want from their eating and exercise plan. So who am I to disagree? If somebody asks for my help, that's another different question. But even then, shouldn't I find out, why do you do it that way? Why is that important to you? Why have you chosen to eat that way? If you were your own high performance eating and exercise coach, what advice would you give yourself? And to me, that's a really important question because it helps me find out what's important to this person, not what's important to me. And I share that with you again because is it selfish to try and convince people to change their point of view to agree with us? We have the right to our opinion. Is it possible that everybody else has the right to theirs? And I will always ask that question. If somebody wants my help, and there's another beautiful question that goes with this, they may have a lot of ideas about how they should eat or how they should exercise or how to vote or who to believe in or how to be a great parent or how to save money, how to run a business, how to be wealthy, all the things that people argue about. But if they share with me that they think they should do something a certain way, rather than disagreeing, I ask a really simple question. Again, it's just one of those tools in my toolbox. If there was a safer, quicker, better way to do that, is that something you'd like to chat about? And of course, as an exercise professional, people have very strong opinions and convictions about how to eat and exercise. And if somebody's doing something that I really think could be damaging to them or could hurt them or it could make them sick or could give them poor results in the long term, rather than telling them what they're doing is wrong or they shouldn't do that, because could that be really disrespectful? I would hate it if somebody came up to me and said, you shouldn't do that, it's bad for you. And it's funny because people do on a regular basis and I don't know why. They never ask me, Roey, do you have a stack of energy? Are you performing at your best? Do you love what you see in the mirror and you're getting the results that you want? They never ask me those questions. They just tell me what to do. I don't want to be that person. If I think that whatever this person is doing could be dangerous, I just ask that simple, respectful question. If there was a safer, quicker, easier way to get the results that you want, is that something you'd like to chat about? And it seems that a lot of the time, the answer is no. There's a lot of people who do crazy exercises and they love doing them. There's a lot of people that have crazy eating plans and they love it. And who am I to say that they should change it? It's not up to me. We're all adults. We get to choose and do whatever it is that we want to do. The next thing, of course, to be aware of is that a lot of people believe things because they come from an expert. So they eat a certain way or exercise a certain way or they vote a certain way or have a certain religious belief because somebody in their life has had an influence on them. So it could have been an exercise physiologist or a teacher or a pastor or a university professor or a naturopath or a chiropractor or somebody in their life who they trusted and believed in. They now have taken that information on board as their own. It seems now we have a lot of people who watch documentaries, for example, and they hear a lot of experts talking about a certain way to eat or a certain way to exercise or a certain conspiracy theory that might be going on in the world. And because they believe the documentary or they believe the experts that are telling them something, they then take that information on board and believe it. It's now become their opinion. So we have to go back to the beginning, which is, do I want to change their opinion? And if I do, why? Why would it be important for them to have the same opinion as me? Surely they can have a different opinion. But if I really want to change what they're doing because I think it could be hurting them or dangerous, and we always ask that question again, would it be a really good idea to ask the question about the outcome? So, for example, there's a lot of eating and exercise plans that you might not agree with, or they seem stupid or dangerous or fanatical or too extreme. So why don't we just ask the question, so that's it, you've chosen to go on this eating plan or you've chosen to not put that into your diet or you've chosen to do this particular exercise plan or not do that one. What's the outcome? What do you want to achieve? Why is that important to you? Where would you like to do it? When would you like to do it? How you feel if you do that and achieve it? How you feel if you don't? Are you on track or off track to achieving it? And if you were your own high performance eating exercise coach, what advice would you give yourself? And is there anything that you want me to do? And that's been a really important question as an exercise professional for me, because a lot of people come to me as an exercise professional, because of course that's what I specialize in. Roey is an exercise professional. I'm a person who specializes in exercise, not eating, not diet, not nutrition. So I always ask the question, what do you want from me as your exercise professional to help you achieve your goals? And people will often share, I've got a naturopath, I've got a dietitian, my coach has done my eating plan, and I don't want any help with my food. I don't disagree with that. I don't argue with that. All I just keep asking is, how's it going? Do you have a stack of energy? Are you performing at your best? Do you love what you see in the mirror? Are you getting the results that you want? And if the answer is yes, I always leave people alone. And there's a very important reason for that. How many people do you know who have a stack of energy, perform at their best, love what they see in the mirror, and they're getting the results that they want? It's very few people. And could it be a really good idea if you find those people to find out what they're doing rather than tell them what to do? It's one of those very bizarre things. Because no one ever asks me those questions, they never know the answers. But I always have a stack of energy all day, every day. I'm always performing at my best. I love what I see in the mirror, and I love the results I'm getting from my eating and exercise plan. But nobody ever asks. They just tell me what to do, which I always find really, I do. I find it fascinating and interesting. And I used to get angry, and I used to get frustrated, and I used to get annoyed. But now I'm really interested into why people tell me that. Why are you so passionate about that particular eating plan or that particular exercise plan? Why do you believe that? I'd love to know. Lean forward, maintain eye contact, open body language, and actively listen. And I'm sharing that with you because is it possible that we live in a world now where argument has become nasty? There's a lot of people who, because we don't do face-to-face much anymore, there's a lot of argument on social media, and people send horrible text messages and nasty emails, and they post horrible things about people because they don't agree with what the person has said. Rather than asking the question, why do you believe that, and why is that important to you, and why have you put that into your life, and why do you live your life that way? And would it be nice to just ask the questions and find out, because you're genuinely interested in other people rather than interested in having people believe the same thing that you do? And there's another great question to ask. Wouldn't the world be really boring if we all agreed? If everybody had the same religion and the same food and the same eating habits and the same exercise habits and they all believed the same religion, perhaps we would all just be like robots because we're all doing exactly the same thing. Is it possible that the world becomes smarter and better and wiser because we don't all have the same opinion? And if you put two people in a room, and that's one of my favorite quotes when it comes to the brain, if you're going to brainstorm, storm with people who have a brain. But if you are all agreeing in a room, you're in the wrong room. If everybody's got the same opinion, how can we grow? How can we stretch our brain? How can we learn to think differently, wiser and better? So regardless of what somebody believes, regardless of what they tell you that you should do, regardless of their convictions, regardless of how passionate they are about trying to convince you of their particular way, wouldn't it be nice to just listen? Listen and understand. If it comes to the point where the person becomes aggressive or nasty, or they're really becoming so pushy that it's annoying you or it's upsetting you or hurting you, the last part of this great toolbox is smile, nod, and walk away. If somebody starts yelling and screaming at you about who you should believe in or who you should sleep with or shouldn't sleep with or what kind of food you should eat or what kind of exercise you should do, and they're just being rude and disrespectful, just smile, nod, and walk away. You don't have to have that nastiness in your life. And there's a better question to ask is, why would you put up with that? Could it be disrespectful to have somebody yelling and screaming at you about something that you don't agree with? So whatever the passion of the person who's talking to you, maybe respect that passion. That's always a lovely thing to say. I really respect the fact that you're so passionate about this. What's the outcome that you want to get from it? Will you get that outcome? Are you absolutely convinced? If there was a better, safer, quicker, easier way to get the result that you want, is that something you'd like to chat about? And probably another really important question to ask is, what makes me the expert? What makes you the expert? In any conversation that you have, is it possible that the other person has better knowledge, more in-depth knowledge, greater experience, or they've had a different experience? And how would we know any of that if we don't ask the questions? So if somebody starts preaching at you, lecturing at you, telling you what to do, disagreeing with you, what if you leant forward, maintain eye contact, open up your body language and say, wow, tell me about that. You're obviously really passionate. How did you come to that conclusion? Why do you live your life that way? Why is that important to you? tell me why and how this has added value to your life. I'm really interested. You don't have to agree. You don't have to change your mind. You don't have to justify what you do. But could it be a really nice way to have better relationships with people rather than arguing with them? And if somebody's wanting you to change what you do and they're trying to push you and they're being aggressive to get you to change your mind, smile, nod and walk away. Thank you very much for your opinion. Thank you very much for your advice. I really appreciate your feed forward, as I call it. And I'm really thankful for the time that you've invested in me to give me this information. Have a wonderful day. Smile, nod and walk away. Could life be too long to have nasty, disrespectful, ungracious people in your life? Or could it be too short? Imagine if the last conversation you have in your life is with somebody who's trying to convince you that you're wrong, or they're telling you what to do, or they're disagreeing with your opinion. Wouldn't it be nice to just have great conversations with everybody because you respect their opinion, you're interested in what they've got to say, and you have a fun conversation with somebody who has a different opinion than you rather than an argument? Wouldn't that be fun? Woohoo!